In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we continue last week's show where Gary and Damon are joined by guests Rock Cub and Ronnie to talk about how the bear community changed their lives. Find out which of them is a star fucker, how long ago they learned about bears, what changed in how we meet new people, and yada yada yada. Tuck in your napkin to enjoy this tasty slice as COL 332 starts now.
Hey guys, it's Gary here from the cast of Cubs Out Loud. This episode is resuming our episode 331 on the road show in Cincinnati with Damon and I, joined by Jeff and Ronnie. When we left off, we were discussing high school girlfriends, and at the time that we ended the first half, I actually was discussing about my last girlfriend in high school and describing the circumstances that we broke up. So that's where this episode picks up at. And you finally get to learn how we came up with the name for these two episodes. Hope you enjoy it.
You heard the story. Yes, Ronnie heard the story. It was a bit of drama that she, on our 9-month anniversary, which I didn't realize how significant that day was going to be for her, another friend of mine and I, who I'd been friends with before I'd started dating Nicole, Rebecca and I went to the mall. And I was working with Rebecca to plan the 1-year anniversary. I was going to be gone to college. So Rebecca was still going to live in the area. So she was going to be my proxy and handle stuff on my behalf while I was gone, because I was going to be 2.5 hours away at college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So unbeknownst to me, Nicole got pissy about it. And that was the reason she split up with me by phone. Left me a message. Didn't talk to me. Never, like, so months went by. That was August, right before I went away to college. In October, the first week of October, I was like at my wit's end and suicidal. And I was like, because I mean, I really kind of felt like my life was completely imploding. And I couldn't figure out why all these things were wrong. And one of the things that bugged me the most that I wanted an answer to as to why she's broke up with me. Because I kept calling and she wouldn't talk to me. Like, her mom would be on the phone. She's like, Gary, I don't know. Nicole doesn't want to talk to you. There's nothing else I can say. So I called and she actually answered the phone. And I said, Nicole, it's Gary. And she's like, uh-huh. And I said, I just want to talk for a couple minutes. We don't need to spend a lot of time. And she's like, all right. And I said, I just have a question. Why did you break up with me? So then she revealed. She's like, well, to be honest, you spent our 9-month anniversary with Becca. And I was like, excuse me? So I laid the whole day out. I was like, well, just so you know, on our 9-month anniversary, I was at the mall with Becca planning our 1-year anniversary because I was going to be gone to college and I knew how important that day was going to be for you. So I was in the midst of buying, which I don't know if you know what these are, mezpah, like halves of a coin.
No.
It has scripture on it. And yeah, so yeah, yeah. I was going to have one half and she's going to have the other half. And then I was also planning that Becca was going to work with me and somehow at the high school that day deliver 12 roses over the course of the entire school day. So by the time she finished the day she went home, she had a dozen roses.
Well, look at you being all romantic and shit. With a woman.
No. Here's the kicker. Here's the kicker Nicole should have known. When we went to prom in the spring, I picked her dress. That was made for me. I picked the design of her dress. I did. I picked the design of her dress that was to be made. It was going to be black crushed velvet on the top with a sweetheart neckline. It was going to be red satin on the bottom because she's like me, short, wide hips. So you wanted something that was like going to look good for her. And all I keep thinking of these years later is, girl, how could you not know? Not know.
That is hilarious.
But I got the closure by finding out that she was being petty and she had no idea what was going on. And at that moment, I was like, I feel released that I can do whatever I want and I don't have to be answerable to anything. Yeah. And that was the week that I met Rich Woolley, who was a clarinetist in the marching band at the university, who was tall, skinny, black, and like flaming as high as the sun is in the sky. Like, I never met a gay person like that in my life. And he went to church every single Sunday. He was out and proud and nobody gave him any shit. And I was like, who the fuck are you and how do you get away with this? And that started this little pocket of a bunch of us. And we all came out that fall, that first semester in 92. And that started this whole journey of things.
Wow. You have more friends than you know.
You know what I mean? Everybody.
How old are you, Gary?
41.
Everybody's story is, to me, I find so interesting and so... Because everybody's story is completely different.
Exactly.
And just every avenue of it. And just those, the dynamics of it to where they were and where they were.
Yeah, because I went and I talked to Rich. He lived like four rooms down and because I was on campus the first year. And I went to his room four rooms down and I was talking to him and I said, hey, I got to talk to you about something. I didn't know that my best friend from college, who was one of my first friends from college, Matt, had just talked to him the night before about the exact same thing. Who was also in the March Band. He played sousaphone. Like, so Rich, poor Rich was dealing with like about a five of us all coming to him within about a week and we're like, I think. And coming to the last one, it was like, you're gay. Get out of my room. Like, because
it's like stuff in the bags. Yeah, we know. Just go.
So, you know. Gay. Yeah, so, go. I mean.
No, you're not gay. Definitely gay.
Right. And the funny story is like, when I was talking to Rich, I was like, well, you know, I know that I like women. And he's like, uh-huh. I said, but, you know, I've been dealing with this thing that I think I'm into men. I said, I think I'm bisexual. Without missing a beat, God bless Rich. He goes, no, honey, you're gay. And that was the, like, and that was the end of the conversation for him. Like, he didn't want to talk anymore about it. He was like, no, you're gay.
Done.
And that had a profound effect on me because I spent two or three months fighting with the gay community on the university campus because everybody was like, no, you're gay, girl, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, how dare you, like, oppress me? Like,
please, me?
No, like, I even though I hadn't had sex with a woman, I found women beautiful, and I still do to this day. Like, I like the form of a woman. I just don't want to get in there.
Love how I just don't want up in there.
So
love how it pours into a gum.
So...
What you picked out.
So all these years later, like when people come to me and they say that they're bisexual, I'm totally open with that because I've actually dated bisexual men and I have friends that are bisexual and I own all of that. It took me time as Rich knew. He could tell then. He was like, no, girl, you're not into women. Like, you think you are, but you're not. And that was a lesson to me. Like, I'm not saying Rich did anything wrong, but I've learned how, like, to be much more just accept people for who they are on the surface and let them do their thing.
Yeah.
And if they figure it out, then they figure it out. You know, instead of trying to be so, I don't want to say polar opposites, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Being so definitive or diametric and being like, no, you belong in this box. That's how you should be.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you can be anything
you
that
can,
you want.
You can put both feet in both boxes, you know, as long as they fit.
I don't care. You know.
Maybe they do.
No, did you dealt with it. I dealt with the idea in my head that I was bi.
Mm-hmm.
And that... Get a little whistle every now and then. And I dealt with the cheating thing because I was married, having sex with a man. I wasn't cheating on her.
Oh.
Yeah, and I know a lot of married guys that go through that rationalization.
Oh, yep.
That's how you deal with it because you feel guilty
all the time.
Yeah, you feel guilty, but yet you want to do this. So to deal with it, you start rationalizing that because it's not with another woman, you're not really cheating.
Uh-huh.
Well. Definitely, it's bullshit, but that's how I got through it. And I also got through it because people would ask me, so are you gay or what? And I was like, well, I'm bisexual. I can be with my wife and I could be with a woman. Somebody came in right now and had a gun and was like, you gotta fuck her. And I'd be like, I don't really want to, but let me close my eyes and I'm sure I could get through it. You know, life or death, I could get through it. Do I want to or would I go pursue that? Yeah. You really need to take a picture of that. Cover your eyes and touch it just a little bit.
Get it.
But, yeah, I dealt with that. And
I just gotta find the man in the boat.
Is it working? Am I in?
Anyway.
But yeah, I discovered the bear community by stopping at the Pink Pyramid in Cincinnati and finding Bear Magazine. And I was like, what?
Okay, so that brings up a really good point. I'm curious to know, you mentioned that. I had a similar thing. I had gone to the adult bookstore on State Street in Erie. Michael, who I met at Kings Island last night, was probably the manager. No, I think he'd left Erie by then. He was a manager at the bookstore, though. I remember going in there and seeing Bear Magazine and going, what is that?
Right.
and being like, I gotta buy that, but I can't buy just that, because it becomes super obvious, like, even though I was okay with buying guy mags, quote unquote, right. I was like, I gotta buy that, and I gotta, you know, buy like a, you know, well, no, like a hand jobs, or, you know, like, it needed to be part of a collection of things and not be super obvious that I wanted just the one with Jack Radcliffe on the cover, or whoever it was,
you know. Yeah, and I thumbed through there, and I was like,
yeah,
wow. And then I thought, well, these guys aren't really gay. It's just models or whatever.
No.
What I'm saying is,
I was praying and hoping in my bedroom. I was like, they all have to be gay. Please.
Men that I found to be like, oh my God, those guys are. I find those guys hot.
Yeah.
The guys like that aren't gay. The only gay guys are the guys I've seen on TV and the beauticians that my mom worked for and the hairstylist, the very flamboyant and the very over the top thing. That's all, because that's all the media ever was showing. So here I find this magazine. It wasn't until I got to the back that I found the personal ads.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
And I found an ad for a couple that was a few towns over from me in Indiana. And I knew where this town was, and I knew I was far enough away, but I had relatives in that town, so that made me nervous. So here I was on the phone with them because it had their phone number, and I was talking to them, and they invited me out, and of course I started going out there. One of them was very playful. The other one was equally playful, but was very articulate, very studious, if I may. And he kept telling me there's more to this than just getting your rocks off. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I've got 15 minutes before I have to get back home to the wife. Let's go. Chop, chop. Let's go with this. And as the time progressed, you start figuring stuff out. So that was 94, 95. So I met John in 96, January 2nd of 96. I was married and went out and got my tattoo. And that was my way of taking a stance for myself and going, I can't take this off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at you.
I cannot take this off. Nobody, she can't. You know, and she wasn't a tyrant, but that was January 2nd of 96 that I got that tattoo.
Mm.
So then I met John later in 96, ended up moving up here in 97, and it wasn't until 2013 that I come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember why I'm talking about this.
So I thought the magazine thing was interesting because that was the first representation I had of the community, and that there was like this, there was this type of a man,
right,
that was into other men. And through that, through the ads in the back, I learned about I knew of the Berg Bears before I ever like went to a function or joined them. And there were websites and listings. So, and the internet was just beginning at that point.
Do you remember
point.
The BML?
I was not on the BML, but I know somebody who started it.
Because John and I both subscribed to it, but didn't know each other from there. That's what's funny, is we both subscribed to the BML. It's the Bear mailing list.
Yeah.
And it was through I don't really know the jargon. I don't know if it was through a server, but you just basically through email, you got stories and threads and the very first Facebook, if you would. People would, there were no pictures, even when John and I met on AOL 0.5 in 96. No pictures.
Well, that's why we created the Bear Code, though. Right. You remember that shit?
Yes.
Oh. And you were like, B plus, E plus plus, you know, but like,
divided by two, carry the one. Equals pi, speaking of pi.
I laugh because every once in a while, someone, I think it's on Growler, someone has it and says, for all you youngins, look up the Bear Code. Here's mine. Like it's so snarky and funny. It's kind of like, you know, like, bitch, I've been around for long enough. I got a bear code.
Yeah.
You need to figure out what it means. It makes me laugh. But yeah,
and same discussions. Like, you know, what do I do? I remember subject matters like, what do I do if I want to bottom? And so questions like, because that's how I found out what to do. What do you do if you want to bottom? What steps to take in, quote, preparation for that activity. What do I do? It was kind of like a Dear Abby. People would chime in and say, this is what I do, and I'm going to be in Cincinnati for Pride. Or it was just this communication vehicle.
Wow.
So it's just very interesting to think about that. And people, I mean, I didn't know about LiveJournal until a few years ago, and I guess it kind of resurfaced a little bit. It's still there, mm-hmm. but it's funny how you know people from LiveJournal, and I yeah. recognize names that yeah. were on the BML. I probably, if I could get into AOL, I could probably pull up old emails with those things. And now all you have to do is go to, what's the site? I don't go to it, but... What's Craigslist?
Aha.
The personals in Craigslist.
That's
and,
true.
And it's just crazy, you know, yeah, which is true. I know somebody who met their partner on Craigslist.
Yeah. It's very interesting the way that
my cousin
are connecting now.
Yeah, my cousin met her husband on, she just posted, she met her husband on MySpace. I did not know that. She sent this guy a message on MySpace. They're married and have two kids. I didn't know that.
Sam met her husband on MySpace.
See?
Sit like that.
Interesting. So were you, what about you, how did you come into knowing about bear iconography and that stuff? Since Jeff and I have the commonality of going into an adult bookstore and seeing a magazine and being like, I have to have it and take it home and make the pages sticky.
I always really had attraction to men. I never quite defined it until college and mm-hmm. internet. So I went on. I did Yahoo Chat. There was AOL Chat.
Yes.
There was Yahoo Chat.
I was on Yahoo, and the news groups on there.
Yep. So I met someone through there. Met my first boyfriend there, and then I went. That wasn't when I first got Bears. Bears were not until I moved here
to Cincinnati.
Officially, I always knew the kinds of. Types of guys I liked. I knew what I enjoyed.
Were you around for Cincinnati River Bears?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Because I joined when I was married. Went and got a PO box in the town next to mine, and had the so that I could get the 3-page printed off newsletter from somebody's Xerox machine that they mailed you in the mail.
But I would get. It wasn't until it was. It had to have been September or October 2002. I went online, heard about Bears, kind of knew what they were into, and then I went to, they were having their bear run. Love this.
Can I say it out loud and just be edited?
Yes.
Hi.
It won't be edited. That's okay.
Guys, David's like that. We're not ending that.
Just randomly.
So the audience can understand that's listening because they're like, what the fuck's going on? Ronnie got up and left the table, went into the kitchen, and I'm like miming trying to eat a piece of pie. And he's like,
and
what?
Caught him. And I know there's pie in the refrigerator.
So, God damn.
Sorry, David. I was trying to not interrupt you.
It's okay. You know how I am. I'm easily distracted. But I didn't know about Bears until I came here, and it was just prior to the River Bears bear run. Mm-hmm. I was actually just talking about this because the guy that I met at the event that Ben and I went to tonight, I met him prior to going to the bear run, and I met him that night at the bear run. And we just sort of, we had talked online, we went to the bear run together, we hung out, blah, 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 and then we went to the host hotel, there was a hotel off of Central Parkway. That cheap-ass hotel that looked... God. It was a day's in.
Wait. Yeah. When you say cheap ass, did they charge by the hour or at least
by the night? No, not quite that.
They were getting there.
They were days in, like a day's in. More like
day. Day spelled D-A-Y-Z.
Days and confused in.
Days and confused in. But they, that's where I went, and I went to my first bear run that night. That weekend, I went to the hotel for the after hours party, and. So there was that. So.
I was there.
2000. Oh, God.
Were you?
Yes.
2002?
Probably.
Oh!
Probably, yeah. Because 2001.
Wait, how many minutes were you there?
I wasn't there long. I was just going to drive by. I was on the way back from a gig and stopped in to say hi.
Hi. So funny. Sorry, that's funny that you mentioned that. But that's, you know, that's sort of, you know, that's why we went. Like, oh, we're going to go to the, because it was the after hours party. It was, there were people there for socializing and drinks and whatnot, and there were people there
socializing.
For
socializing. And you know what's interesting about that is I remember trying to meet people on AOL, and certain people, obviously, because everybody's different, would not give me the time of day as soon, because there weren't profiles, there weren't pictures, there weren't this. So you had to have dialogue.
ASL.
As soon as they found that I was married, would not talk to me anymore.
Somewhat.
As soon as they found out my age, would not talk to me anymore. And, you know, that still happens, and I see people doing it on Growler and stuff, and people getting mad and upset. And people, I took it personal. I'm like, well, what's wrong with me? They don't know you. They don't see your picture. They're only going off of one piece of information. But being where I am now, I kind of get why.
Yeah.
Why? Because potentially a lot of drama. If that guy that has been in what I call gay years, if you've been out for 15 years, you've got 15 years under your belt, literally. Where I'm just out yesterday, and I'm like a kid in a candy store, and I'm like, gimme, 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 gimme. And this person that's 15 years is wanting to talk to people, and where I am, wanting to have friends or wanting to develop something long term before they jump in the sack with you. There's this big disconnect over the whole sexual issue, and one person's looking to get off right now, and one person's like wanting to develop friendship. And then, well, it gets this little banter like, what a fucking asshole, or what are they? And it's like, no, you're just in two different places.
Mm-hmm.
You're just in two different places.
Yeah, I agree. That's sometimes less of a thing you sometimes have to deal with, especially online. Now, nowadays, I feel it's more of a quick thing. I see that happening a lot more often. Like, people just want to, like, I've already got my established thing over here. I've got my friends. I've got my partner or my husband or whatever. I've got all this over here. I'm just over here to just, like, get this 10 seconds of bliss and be, like, done with it. And then move on to back over here. So I kind of feel that way sometimes. Like it was very interesting. Some of the things that happened tonight, I won't get into on the podcast tonight, but there are some things that I noticed about events like this and going, oh, you know, you're not really here to like make friends and connect with people.
Right.
You're here to just do this, that, and the other, and then
you're on your way.
Maybe be on your way, or maybe stick around and have some pie. And
But what's interesting about that is people get aggravated on one and the other. Well, all people want to do is have sex, or that person's aggravated, but that's the only reason people are here. Well, that's like, I can't believe I jumped on Growler, and all the son of a bitch wanted to do was just come over and suck my dick and then leave. That's what Growler's for, in my opinion. Now, I've been, you know, if you're on that kind of a site, and it's kind of designed as a hookup site, you're not here to... If you get on there and you trade crocheting tips, great. But don't get mad if the guy that's looking to get off, because he's on his lunch break, contacts you and then doesn't talk to you anymore, ever.
Yeah. Well, and I think you bring up an excellent point. To me, the apps or those websites are just like when I get asked about the run. Like, am I going to have a good time at the event? I hope so. I mean, that's...
I love that feeling. Yeah.
Well, that's up to you.
Fill out this survey and I'll let you know.
That's up to you. I mean, that's no different than somebody who, like, you know, owns or manages a bar. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they're like, well, am I going to have a good time there? Well, that's up to you. Like, you have to participate in life. So why are you, like, you know, you can come and ask me or whatever, but the reality is that, you know.
Yeah. That's the one thing
you can't,
I hate more than anything else. It's,
you know,
like that whole, like.
Right. I can't be held accountable for that.
Yeah. They want someone else to be accountable for their fun and their friendship. If they ask you, am I going to have a good time here? They're asking, can you tell me that I'm going to enjoy something here? Can you give me a reason to come? Like, no, bitch, I can't give you a reason to come. You have to come on your own and have your own kind of fun. If you can't do that, then that's not on me, that's on you.
And that's the thing that I've said to a lot of people about events is, it's like life, kids. You know, like, if you're just going to be a spectator, then it's just going to pass you by. If you're going to get involved and play, you know, whatever is going on, then yeah, you'll probably have a better time. Yeah. You know, and that's, and I think we've talked about it before on the podcast, and that's the way I kind of feel about that site. It's like, yeah, I have a Growler account, but to be honest, Growler is mostly about me being in touch with my friends and knowing where they are.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Like this weekend, the GPS part of it is absolutely perfect because I can kind of tell where individuals are in relation to where I am. And if I see six people that I know all together and they're in there all in one spot and they're all roughly 3.4 miles away, then guess what? They're probably all together in the same house or restaurant or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, and for some people, maybe that's not important, but that's one aspect of how I see it, you know?
Well, and that's what's nice. People using those for different, you know, like people would be like, oh, sure, you are on this site just to keep up with your friends. Actually, I am.
Yeah.
At right. this point in my life, see, I actually am using it for that. So don't get mad at me that you hit me up.
That's one of the things people need to understand. Like, if right. you read, like, something, like, if I put, like, I'm only looking for friends and to talk to people. And, like, I'll always put in profiles, like, I'm looking for friends and maybe more. And for me, maybe more doesn't necessarily mean we're going to go hop in the sack right then and there. No, it literally means, like, we're just going to talk and hang out and maybe we have common interests and maybe we can go out to a movie or whatever. Maybe I can introduce you to some of my friends. Are you single? I have some single friends. Maybe I can hook you guys up and you can go and get married and all that shit because we can get gay married now. So, you know, it's like, it's my that's my thing. Like,
get gay married.
That's what Jeffrey, our host producer, we did an episode about the SCOTUS, the Supreme Court's decision in marriage equality. That's all he kept saying the entire episode. God bless him. He's like, now we have gay marriage and we can get gay married. And I'm like, it's just marriage. But it is funny to say, you're gay married now. You know, as opposed to, I guess, non-gay married. Or whatever you want to call it.
Anyway.
All I can think of is the video from Saturday Night Live, the pill that they give the straights. Have you seen that? Where, are you going to a gay marriage this summer? And the dancing and... is it Bill? I can't remember. He's trying to dance, and he's like, and all of a sudden, all your gay friends break out a dance routine to the Beyonce song that's not even out yet. And it's like, I have to find it. It's so
hilarious.
It's like, take this anti-gay pill or whatever. It's hilarious, but it was a Saturday Night Live skit. And then at the end, it shows the lesbian version, and it's like a split second of two women with like two dogs and they kiss and they walk away or something. It's like, it's kind of funny.
So the point of the video is that you take this pill and it makes you gay?
You can hang out. Do you not have the right clothes to wear to...
You're not as awkward because you're going to a gay wedding.
Because it's going to be so much more fabulous than... At my wedding, we serve... And this is, at our wedding, we served this and that and this and that. But at Bill and Ted's wedding, they gave everyone a cruise. And it is fucking hilarious.
I may have found it, but anyway, well, that can be played maybe after.
So. Yeah, you can tag that on there. It's hilarious. It is hilarious.
Gave away a cruise.
There you go.
It's like they gave away a cruise.
Xanax for gay summer weddings.
Yeah, Xanax for gay summer weddings.
In this commercial parody, Xanax for gay summer weddings is a new pill to ease the stress of attending a flawlessly executed gay wedding for boring heterosexuals.
Well...
We'll have to watch that later. Yes. That sounds too funny.
Yes, we will have to watch that later. Okay. Well, as we're enjoying our pie.
Conversation got all like, what did you say?
Yeah.
It's a mouthful. Just eating pie, promise.
Okay.
So you say. What dark room were we in 2002?
I wasn't going to say nothing.
See, we might have known each other, but not known each other.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
But, no, you're not thinking. I'm sorry. Like, given where the things are connected, it's weird how that could have been possible. And,
right.
Hell. For all I know, he was probably over in the corner getting blown up by somebody.
I was by the bathtub. I knew where I was.
Oh, shit. Hold on. No. I know. Anyway, no. I'll have to scan my memory for that one, because I think I remember that room. But anyway.
Yeah, this isn't awkward for you at all, is it, Ronnie?
I have my own room stories.
And he has stories about me before he even met me, so he's seen pictures of me before he even knew who I was. Because he didn't know who I was.
And the only reason that I know about him is because of Lance. Hmm. Lance was the connection between me and Jeff.
Okay. How did that come about? Because I'm missing that piece.
But when Jeff was going, this is the way that I understand it, is that when Jeff was going through the loss of John,
right?
Jeff was, from what I understand, lashing out a bit on Facebook. In an angry, very dark place, and Lance was a friend of his on Facebook, but the way he was doing, when you get to know Lance, you understand this completely makes sense for him to do this. He reached out to him via private message.
Yeah, he didn't post on my wall. He sent me an email,
and he said, "You don't know me. I've been reading what you're going through. I see this is happening with you, and I don't know how the rest of the message went, but it was just a bit of a trying to shift." Things maybe possibly for Jeff. Anyway, they became Facebook friends, and then when I was booking for the bar, Lance goes, "You got to go check this out. This Rock Cub guy. He's really cute. And he's really talented." And like Rock Cub, really?
Yes.
It's better than the alternative.
I love that.
If you change the first two letters of the words.
Cockrub.
Yes. That's how Rock Cub, the name Rock Cub, got on Facebook. Or on 411. As I thought, Cockrub, if you change those letters around, it's Rock Cub.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's how I came up with the name. I don't think I've ever seen it.
Now everybody knows the background of how the nickname came about.
Isn't that sweet?
Act like you don't like a cockrub. Come on now.
I ain't going to act like it.
Beard or no beard? What?
I'm going to go with beard.
I figured as much.
Anyway, so he didn't know. You didn't know who I was at all.
Right. Just coming to see some guy that I could book. That was all it was.
And he booked him.
Well, and Gary was there.
And he booked him.
And Gary was there. That was the funny part about it.
And he booked him, and he booked him, and he booked him.
Again and again and again.
It's funny because I went into business mode. I was at Freedom Valley. I was performing. I looked outside the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
Gary was at the show, and during the show, I seen him, and of course, he was new meat. I didn't know. I'd never seen him before.
I haven't been called that in years.
Well, bitch, you was. Does he know the story? I thought I already told you this about how I spotted you when he saw you. So Coleman shows up at Freedom Valley. You haven't been to Freedom Valley yet, but when you go there, you'll see that there's a rec hall, and they have a dance floor area. And I think it was because of the weather,
mm-hmm.
Jeff performed indoors instead of outdoors at their little stage area.
Mm-hmm.
And Richie and Vince were with me. The Cubs are with me. This was May a year ago.
Yeah, May 10th.
Yeah.
May 10th.
So Jeff's performing, and he's over in the corner. And the way they had set the seats, they were kind of like on an angle, and there was like a little bit of an aisle in between. And Jeff had handed me his camera and was like, "Can you take pictures during the show?"
Mm-hmm.
And I think you had the tripod running for video as well. And so we're there, and we're so I'm kind of facing like this direction to you, and Jeff's like over there performing, and the doorway is over here. And then I notice that this very handsome gentleman comes over, and he's standing in the doorway just watching Jeff. And all three of us,
right,
Vinny and Richie and I, are all kind of like, "Well, who the hell is that?"
Well, and Vince was the same way.
I was like, there is a redheaded ginger bear standing in the doorway, and it was so funny. And I knew immediately Jeff was going to, Jeff's being all professional, and he's busy playing to the audience, but the whole time he just wants to turn and be like, "Ha, ha, ha."
So after I get done, I kind of beeline it out there to find out who this is.
Huh, look at you.
And he's like, he tells me who he is, and he's
I'm
like,
being all like three-year-old girl starstruck going, "Oh, I was way nervous."
And I didn't notice that at all, because I'm thinking as soon as he said, "I'm here on behalf of the bar, and we're looking to book you, so I came down to see the show." And I'm like, ain't nobody ever done that before. And I was like, okay, lose the interest sexually and let's stay business-wise.
Look at you.
So I did. It was so bad that he couldn't even get a... After they booked me, he for months, he couldn't even get a... He never did get a picture.
No. Any of the pictures I used for you, you did not use.
He said, I wouldn't send him anything. I wouldn't send him any, because I'm just thinking, most people print off a pixelated piece of crap and hang it up, and if it's just like any other bar, or I just don't have, from years and years of doing this, just, when somebody says they're going to hang flyers up, I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, just grab a picture off Facebook, because you're just going to run pictures off and hang them up. You know, very little people do the appropriate promotion, in my opinion. And
they work well.
Right. But I didn't want to cross that line because I thought, this is strictly business. So I never did. I wanted to, but because it was a show, I was like, it's not worth fucking up the show and getting it crazy and making things difficult or anything like that.
Drama.
When there's, if you're looking to suck dick, you can just go out on the naughty trail later on tonight after the show's over with. There's going to be plenty of dick to suck after if that's what you're wanting.
True.
So,
hashtag.
You left.
Because nobody told me that.
You left the campground and went home and took off.
Right.
Because after the show was over, I think I said to you, who was that guy on the door? And you're like, I don't know, but I saw him. And I was like, okay. And then months go by, and I never knew. You ended up telling me, I don't remember how the detail came out. You said, well, Ronnie was the guy in the doorway. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, oh, now I put it all together.
Good for you.
Well, and we really didn't start, full-on communication until...
You kissed me.
Oh.
I did kiss him.
About when we started actually really talking.
Right. Well, that's when we started talking, but at the show in Cleveland, I did. I just walked up and kissed him, and then I got real embarrassed and scared. And left, and left with my friend Dan, and just took off. I was nervous. I was scared. It wasn't my thing to ever do that. Because most of the time, I'm full of shit and just talking to people and running my mouth like I am now. But if I was really attracted, I would
shy away.
What to do?
Away,
you're like, you get that awkward. You get that awkward. It's like it's a real weird thing. So I just
throw a
we were standing 10 feet from each other, and I thought, "Fuck this!" And I just walked over, not knowing anything about the situation or anything, and gave him a kiss, and then put my head down, and then it was like, "Ah!" And I left and went out and got in the car with Dan and went to Denny's or something. I think we went to Denny's.
Yeah, and if you remember, because I didn't go with you, because you came walking out, because you had disappeared.
Right.
And I was like, and I kept asking her, where the fuck's Jeff at?
Well,
because we were busy packing your truck up or whatever.
I went to get the check from him.
Right, and you disappeared, and I was like, all right, fine, whatever.
Which was in my back pocket the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Now we know. So you showed up and you were like, all right, ready to go? And I was like, all right, apparently bitch got her check. Like, she got money. She ready to, like, take off. I've seen way too many artists that are like that. They're like, sign. Oh, got my money. Bye. You know, and it's like, witch hazel hairpins in the air. And they're gone.
What's the check? The ink ain't even dry yet.
Right. Let's go.
I must have had to, like, I think I had to work the next day or something was going on.
Split.
Because you were like, aren't you going to join us to go out to eat? And normally I wouldn't. I was like, I can't. I got to drive 2 hours, go home. And then I had something to do the next day or whatever.
But that was in September. And then around the holidays, we really were starting to hit it off. And things were changing for me and where my head was at. And then at the first of the year, we decided to, we should really just start dating because this is kind of asinine. We're talking on the phone all the time. And
Wasn't that night that you went to Denny's the night they tried to fix you up with Mike Revis?
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
The guy
that I found to be handsome, I think, lives.
I don't know if that's...
I don't know the situation, but he just kept... I'm sitting here thinking, oh, this guy's really... handsome and attractive, and he kept trying to fix me up with a fellow musician at the table. And no, I don't know if he was trying. He wasn't necessarily trying to fix me up, but he just kept saying, "You and Mike Rivas, he's a really nice guy. Was this the sell?" And I was like, "I'm sure he is. It's just not my type of guy who I find in my target zone for."
Okay.
John and I used to joke about that. You have a target zone. You can fall. You can be the Jack Radcliffe and fall right in the middle for me, because that was my porn star was Jack Radcliffe when I seen that. And so there's that dead center, and then as you go out, it's because mine changed over the years. I remember the first time I was at transfer, and Santa Claus was still attractive, but all of a sudden, 30-year-old Cubs, I was like, did I just do a double take in the hallway on that cute little Cub? What the fuck? And you know, and it changes and it grows over time, and so.
But there's still the part.
But yeah, that was the night that was going on at dinner, and I was like. And I'm still reeling from, I just kissed this guy and...
Jack Ratcliffe.
What is this? What are you shaking your head over there for? What? Jack
Ratcliffe. I kind of... You
must... What, that old thing?
Right. Yes. I wasn't going to bring that up after we talked about it.
Oh, you brought it up.
I'm a little... Yeah, I think you brought it up.
Oh, my.
You know how we went to a bookstore and got our Jack Ratcliffe magazines?
Yes.
Somebody else worked.
I worked at Body Language in Cleveland, which is actually how I got introduced. We didn't carry any Bear magazines at all. There wasn't anything like that. And, mm-hmm. and I met a guy named... They called him Bear. His name was Bear Dombrowski or something.
I know him. I just chatted with him.
That's who you were talking about.
Yeah. That guy was all Bear. Bear. He had everything Bear magazine sold. He had every Bear flag in every style. It was like the... And I had no idea what any of this was. And Bear magazine was a pamphlet. When he showed it to me.
Oh, wow.
And,
oh, my God.
And that is so we funny. Started,
we all know him.
We went to get it in. I wanted to get it into Body Language, so I talked to Linus about carrying this Bear magazine. We started carrying Bear, and it was like maybe two or three issues in. Ratcliffe walks through the front door. And and everybody's just kind of like, oh, hey, how's it going? You need help with anything? I'm like, do you have any fucking idea who that is? And I was just... So we ended up... talking and you know whatever, but
no, we don't get
ding,
to
ding,
go.
Ding 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 ding. Linus had a thing in the store where he had customer of the month, and he always took a picture of your cock. And Body Language was a piercing shop, but it had unfolded into the one room was videos, one room
you don't
was piercing,
yada yada yada.
One room was
that,
magazine,
right,
one room
no.
was leather, one room was this. He would take you back in the leather room, and he would take a picture of your dick and. Depending on whatever, however he chose it, you would become Customer of the Month. You'd get a frame, and it would say Customer of the Month, February 1983, or whatever, and it would mm-hmm. go on the wall. There was a whole wall of these pictures. And so he said, hey, Jack, let's do that. And so we went in the back after the shop had closed. Linus took the pictures and left. So that left me and Jack in the leather room
mm-hmm.
of the Body Language to mess
mm-hmm.
around.
Mm-hmm.
Mess around.
Right. And then I meet him, and it's all, Jack, right?
And you're all like,
and he's like, well, do I have
so you're only one step removed from being a starfucker.
Oh my god,
right.
I'm not even one step removed. I'm technically starfuck. Anyway, I'm not gonna name it.
You don't yada 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 over that. Listen to your ass over there. You're like, da-da-da-da.
I don't even know. I can't remember. Well, it depends on what you mean by, like, it wasn't like Jack Ratcliffe and all of them. This was like, this is like Bear Films' most recent kind of thing. I know a few.
Like the yada, 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 no?
Yeah.
Okay.
The yada, 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 no.
I yada, 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 know you.
Anyway, so yes, I know a few Bear Films porn stars.
Nice.
Not a few, a couple. I'll say a couple.
I love that.
So my question is, what happened to the wall of dicks?
Linus sold, after I left there, Linus sold the shop, and I have no idea what happened to all those framed pieces.
Okay. No, because awesome. I knew about BL, I knew about Body Language, but I never went there.
Okay.
And so I'm like, what happened to
it's
to
in
that
the same
stuff?
Building, in a different, it's an apartment building, and it...
You
it took over an apartment. That's the original was just Linus rented an apartment and turned it into the store. And then it after it got big and Linus passed away and then this partner sold it. And then they expanded into a different part of the apartment building, took over two apartments. Now it's this
mm-hmm.
big laid out.
Wow.
But their biggest room was video, which of course is now nothing.
Right.
Nobody non-existent. Does, yeah, it's not a money making thing. So it's becoming barren again because mm-hmm. they're kind of dated. But anyway, that was that whole story with
Interesting.
Isn't that special?
Yeah, he just happened to be in Cleveland on his regular business and just walked in. That kind of thing. That was what was, looking back, it's kind of, that's so weird that that happened. You know?
So random.
I happened to be working. And it happened to be towards closing time.
Funny how that happens.
Funny how that happens.
So convenient.
Convenient.
Right.
Yes.
How convenient.
I have this picture of a young Coleman walking over and taking the flip sign and going, close.
This is how the porn starts.
Exactly.
The porn
closed. Like deadbolt.
In walks Jack scene. Lights come up. In walks Jack Ratcliffe of the body language. Flash to all the people, and then flash to Ronnie. Smile. Eyes open.
I think he had only been in Bear once. Like he was, it was
early on.
Yeah, it was really, really,
really early on.
He was very thin. He wasn't muscular at all.
Interesting.
I bet you one of those photo books has that picture in there. Remember how you found those pictures the other day? It's I held on to that Polaroid all this time.
Oh,
it's in there.
Look who's not going to the Reds game tomorrow. He's searching for Polaroids. Guess he's going to be here late tonight.
Going to your
boxes. Has David got his hand in your box?
Maybe.
Wow.
But yeah, so speaking of connections and people getting interconnected, that's a very interesting thing. How now we all. In somewhere.
Well, now we all know someone
we all know Bear. Just that one person.
Oh, yeah. True. And Bear, like, oh. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he just reached out to me on Facebook. We were message chatting. There was a couple of nights this past week. Did you notice that, like, a lot of people were up until almost 3 or 4 in the morning?
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that there was a bunch of people that are like, I can't sleep and blah, 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 and this and that. And Bear reached out to me because his husband works late nights, like, or.
Comes east of Columbus. Are they in West? They're not in West Virginia.
No.
They're east of Columbus somewhere, though, right?
I thought they were to this side of Columbus, but I could be wrong.
I may be wrong.
But anyways, no. He said that I think it's Kevin, his partner, works until like 5 or 6 in the morning. So Bear tends to stay up until his partner comes home. So that's why he was up in the middle of the night, and he saw. I think I had posted that, you know, great, it's 3 a.m. Oh, I know what it was. I think it was the comment that I said that I pretty much cut out caffeine for the most part out of my diet. And I had had, like, iced tea during the day. And I had, like, you know, like 16 or 20 ounces. And I'm like, great, so that's why I'm up at the fucking 3 in the morning and I can't go to sleep. And I was so frustrated. And he pinged me a private message. He was like, hey. He's like, what's going on? And I was like, not much. I haven't talked to you in a while. It's like, so we, you know, end up chatting back and forth.
Because he used to DJ Midwest,
that's
right?
That's Bear Dombrowski.
No, it's not. That's a different one then.
Uh-oh.
Oh, different man, ruined the story.
Yeah. Sorry, yes, I was like, who is that?
That's the guy we all know.
Did you show him an old picture of Bear?
That's what I'm kind of
fine. I was going to say, because he's lost a lot of weight over the past,
how old is this guy?
Oh, God.
I don't know how old you are, but close to your age, closer to your age than my age.
No, that's not Bear.
Hmm.
It's a different Bear, anyway.
Well,
where does that guy live?
Caldwell, Ohio.
Now,
but
well, his hometown is Caldwell, Ohio. Oh. And I'm not friends with him on Facebook, so this could all be.
Bear lives in Lorraine.
Still,
last I knew, Bear lived in Lorraine. Yeah, I think he's on mine.
Huh. Anywho,
dang it, that was going to be a really good story.
Yeah.
How we all knew the same guy.
Way to go, Damon. Just ruin the whole thing trying to prove.
Excuse me.
Quit looking up the real facts.
Stop Googling.
You're just ruining it all. No, he's from Caldwell and lives in Caldwell. But yeah, he's from Alaska.
Oh, that's so not him.
Well, then there we know. So apparently Bear Dombrowski is not.
There's two. Buy one, get one free.
Something.
Well, good to know that one.
Because I met him when I think he was at Midwest. DJ?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I met him.
Yeah.
I met him in Columbus at Bear Camp. And lusted for him for years, so now that it's out there. So.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons he reached out to me. He wanted to know if I was going to Indy this December and stuff.
Mm-mm-mm. Anywho.
It's funny how small the world is, though.
Yeah.
At least the three of us know him and who he is. And
well, it was a name, and it was like, oh, I know that guy. I know that name.
Right.
Yeah.
He's no longer on Facebook.
Well, there you go.
A couple years ago when he friended me, I'd never seen him post anything. I don't think he ever went on.
Huh.
Like a...
Maybe he was just
replaced.
They might have made him change his name like they did everybody else. If he was using Bear something, Facebook being the bitches that they are, that's not your real name.
Anyway. That's true. Yeah, because that happened to you.
Well, it happened to me, and it screwed a lot of people up. Like he said, people that they're like, what? And now it's real confusing because I was coming back from a gig in Indiana when I was going to post something, and I couldn't get on my account. And it was like, you've got to give us your real name. So I gave him my real name. Well, all of a sudden now, I cannot change that whatsoever.
Weird.
And so I actually just a couple days ago changed my original profile, which was my family and friends and what I kind of considered my straight profile for a while. I changed it to Jeffrey so that Ron would know which... I really want somebody making, you know, not that there's anything racy going to go on any of those, but something that should be on the Bear profile versus something that should be on the other profile,
sure.
Geared more towards that. Like, I wouldn't want to post a picture of everybody and then try to tag everybody and realize, oh, wrong profile. And so I changed it to Jeffrey so that he would be able to find it on Facebook because Facebook wasn't even giving him pictures or anything.
Yeah, I never got pictures. I just got like a...
it said Jeff Workman and Jeff Workman.
Yeah. I got like an avatar and...
Somebody sent me a profile thing the other day. I thought I was already friends with you. I was like, you are. You're on my Bear profile. I was like, you know, it's Facebook.
Because yeah, I got Jeff a friend request from Jeff Workman, Jeffrey Workman. And I was like, oh, someone's probably been hacked. Let me just message you real
quick. So, you know, Facebook doesn't realize it actually throws a lot of shit off. If you've already let somebody establish something, just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. Grandfather, man. Right.
You know, just leave it alone.
But this is not a podcast for... Facebook.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
No, it's fine. But it does bring up an interesting point about how much things have changed.
True.
Over the years, and how we know people, and that we're able to stay in touch with them, and those type of things. Yeah. It's definitely changed the landscape, I think, for us and those connections.
Yeah.
You know, it made it
stronger. I would think.
I agree fully. The interesting thing I think about is how. I wouldn't understand the numbers if it wasn't for knowing that about my own Facebook.
Mm,
yeah. Like, I, because that's the point I was originally trying to make is from 99 until now, I've literally met and know hundreds of people because of events and people that put on events and people that perform at events. You know what I mean? Like, and all the things that go with that. I wouldn't have realized that it's that significant over that time frame. I wouldn't have been able to quantify it that way. To be like, oh,
and
I've met a lot of people.
You're just online friends with people from Australia that I'm online friends with. The guy that he's moved now, that was my friend. That when I reached out when John got cancer, we were trying to figure out how to get to Dallas. Was Dallas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to Dallas, and he worked something to do with some type of a circus thing that was traveling. He reached out to me and said, hey, I've got miles with American, I think it was, and you can have them. I'm not going to use them. So yeah. A Facebook friend that we were both at the Vegas run that year, and we briefly, I think, spoke,
mm-hmm.
and we remember each other, which might have been even how we connected, but he reached out to me and gave us the mileage. Somebody that I'm just Facebook friends with,
right,
and hadn't had much interaction, was kind enough to say, here, take these miles and go do this thing that you need to do. And, you know, the degree of your friendships, sometimes are even tighter than you realize, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And it's interesting to me to see how that's all played out over the years. I'm curious to see if that's true for other people that are outside of our community. My gut feeling is it's not. Because I don't think, if you don't have a community to bring you together, then that doesn't really exist.
Probably not.
It's just the people that you know, which right. would not be necessarily very many people, like family and right. immediate friends type of a thing.
Yeah, because I know people that are just, they were like, how do you have so many friends on there? And I was like, I love to meet people. I love to meet people. And plus, there's a lot, there was, especially at the beginning, there was a lot of advertising-ish promotional stuff that I was using Facebook for. Facebook just recently became personal to me.
Mm, yeah.
Facebook was never really personal for me. It was about having fun, being goofy, promoting what I was doing. And at recent, where other people, they were only friends with like 15 people that they went to high school with, or that they're this, and they're yeah. like, "Well, I'm not friending people that I would that I don't know." Well, Lord forbid ever try to meet somebody new. Stay right there in your little box and don't bother to venture out.
Right.
And but everybody uses it for something different.
Yeah. You know?
Despite yeah. my little commentary there.
Well, and that, I mean, I've talked about it on the podcast that there aren't many people that are friends of mine on Facebook that I have not physically met, don't know them. Yeah. There's only maybe like a dozen at most at this point. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's kind of like we know of each other so much, it's like we just haven't met in person or,
right.
or whatever that may be.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of the folks I do end up knowing on there in some shape or form, and you know, I'm sure if I was to be quizzed about every single one, I'd be like, do you remember where and when? I'd be like, maybe. Like, you know, depends on how long I've known them and what, you know, the connection is
yeah.
in that case. So, yeah. Very, very interesting,
mm-hmm.
to say the least. I think we've reached the end of the yeah. of the discussion.
The pie settling in.
I was going to say, the sugar coma has taken effect because the pie has been eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Did we kill the pie, Ronnie? Or?
Pretty close. We had a couple pieces.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you... I wasn't paying attention if you basically like cut it into four and was
I
like...
I thought about it. I'm like, well, that's going to be a little much. It could have been awesome. I would like to have the room in the refrigerator.
Because we went to Jungle Jim's.
I know, we went shopping today. That was the funny part. We go to Jim's. This one says, you know, whenever you go to Jim's, it's like you walk out and you spend, you know, like $300 and you weren't planning on spending all that money. We're pushing the cart around. I bought six things in a bag. Because when we left, Robbie even made fun. He's like, you have only one shopping bag? And I was like, I knew exactly what I was coming here for. Like, I had in mind, I am picking up these couple of items and that's it.
And we needed bread.
And right, and this one, he needed bread and
mouthwash.
You needed bread and mouthwash, and you said earlier today you wanted sesame sticks.
Yes.
So if you hadn't remembered sesame sticks, I was going to tell you that. And so I knew there was like three things, and they go out, and you ended up with what, like 18 bags of groceries or whatever?
Oh, it's only like six or seven. But it was $100. Yeah. It was $100 worth of groceries. Yeah. And I got eggnog, and I'm very happy.
Well, look at you.
Eggnog and milk, or eggnog and ice cream to make eggnog shakes. So I am a happy individual for the next week.
Yeah, I walked in there. That's my one thing. I hate going. I love going in there, but I hate going in there because I literally go in there and go, oh, I just want this, this, and this.
Nope.
Nope. Never just get that.
A lot of vegetables. We're making an attempt to eat a lot healthier. And now that I'm 50.
I was very happy with our dinner last night.
And
my stir fry.
Yeah. Well, I told my dad about how, you know where the clearance section is?
Yeah.
In the produce area? So I told dad, I said, we go back there, and normally I pick up stuff, and I'm walking around, and I'm like, there wasn't really anything exciting. They had tons of like, red bell peppers and different mm-hmm. stuff in there. And I told dad, it wasn't until I was driving to go visit him, and I'm like miles and miles away, and I was like, oh, I could have bought a whole bunch of peppers and like for stuffed peppers or whatever. Like, it just wasn't clicking when I was there.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, and then, but... You know, I've only got so many days left,
right.
and then I'm about to take a week's vacation, and it's like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to start investing in a bunch of stuff and then have to use it up or get rid of it.
Issue too, tend to have that, like, what am I going to use this for? Like, we went there, and I found pepperoni and cheese pretzel bread. It was like,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, this sounds really good. What am I going to use it for? Oh, I don't care. It's pepperoni and cheese pretzel bread. Fuck this shit. Jim, I was there last week, and Jim was like, I asked him, like, do you want me to pick you up anything? Because I'm a Jungle Jim. He's like, oh, you know, nothing really. Like, if you want something for dinner, if you find something that strikes your eye, or do you think I would like, I'm like, sure, okay. So I picked him up some dark chocolate truffles, and
I saw this pretzel, pepperoni and cheese pretzel bread, and I'm like, hey, look what I found. I took a picture of it, and since it was in the reduced section, I was like, we should probably eat this, you know, within the next few days.
Soon.
So he was like, okay. So we had a nice Italian dinner with this pepperoni and cheese pretzel bread, which was amazing.
Nice.
But, like, it's just like when, like, it, like, yeah, you know, like, random things that you find in. But that was one of those things that I didn't go in there looking for. It was like, right. Oh, this is something right. That.
Look that's that. What I did. I just started pick. I'd walk by something and be like, oh, I told Gary, I said, grab me some grape jelly. I think all I got's jam at home.
Just, yeah, you just end up, you find random things. Well, you found the eggnog, and then he was like, well, now I need vanilla ice cream. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, one thing leads to another, and you just end up buying all that stuff.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
I just stuck to the, like a Cabbage Patch Kid in the back window of a car.
We could see.
Yeah, because he totally honed in on the quarts of eggnog, and I was like, oh boy. I know. I'm like, it ain't even October 1st yet, and this one's all like, hey, Christmas. Dog. I know.
Not Christmas, no.
Oh, just eggnog
shakes.
Oh.
It's a huge difference. And everybody trying to get right with it.
Mm-hmm. This is how much I care.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a nice one on the show.
Damon's leaving shortly.
Oh, look at that. You're about to turn into a pumpkin. Guess it's time for you to go.
Well, thanks for having me again.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for allowing us to commandeer your kitchen table and do a show.
Coming off of the concert and been like, I'm going to bed. I'm tired.
Well, that's why I said that. I was like, do you mind?
All of a sudden, he's like, do you care if we do the podcast in the house? Like, I don't care. I didn't know I was going to be on it for a split second.
Well, and I also wanted to clarify and be like, well, it's just going to be a couple of us, because I know sometimes we have a large cast, and that's why I was like, it's just going to be four of us. Like, I didn't want you to think, like, everybody was coming over, and there's going to be, like, you know,
oh, yeah,
12 or 18 of us screaming and yelling.
Yeah, that would have been a fun show.
Because at first I thought we were doing game. I thought we were finishing up game night until I found out everybody went to Chewy's. So I was like, "Yeah, just going home."
Good idea. All right,
makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that said,
all right. I guess we're saying goodnight.
Mm-hmm. Say goodnight, everybody.
Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.